Flushing girl from Flushing. The nanny named Fran.
Oh, Mr. Sheffield.
Miss Fine.
Hello. Welcome back. It's another episode of Oh, Mr. Sheffield, the podcast about the nanny, a hit sitcom from the 90s starring Fran Drescher. I am Sean DePasquale, also known as Big Daddy D. No, I'm not. No one calls me that. And I'm here with...
Toria Sheffield.
I got Toria with that one good. This week, we are deep into season six, which is considerably less sexy, which I guess is what happens once you get pregnant. Although, was it this episode where there's sex? I think there's this one where she keeps trying to convince him to have sex. Yeah. This is season six, episode 17, The Dummy Twins. Not my favorite title. Directed by Steve Posner, who's a new name in the hat this season. I guess PMJ had to take a week off to probably prep the next week's episode, which is absolutely massive from a directorial standpoint. We'll talk about that next week. And it was written, interestingly, by 150 people. Story by, are you ready? Rachel Changle, Harriet Goldman, Camilla Lynn, and Ivan Menchel, and then teleplay by Ivan Menchel. So this one had a lot of hands in it, as we'll also see for next week's episode. Again, all of the episodes this season seem to like bleed into one another, so it's pretty interesting. There's like almost like a rolling storyline this season, which is kind of fun. And Toria, what is this one about?
I was going to get into the title because I have a question for you, but this is the episode where we deal with the repercussions of Niles having asked Cece to marry him. And also B-plot, Fran and Maxwell have to watch these two little fake baby dolls to prep for having their own twins. And so I was going to say, do you think the dummy twins was sort of a double meaning for those little babies and Niles and Cece?
Yes, I do. I just think... it just feels like a lazy title. I think the word dummy always strikes me as so lazy, you know? I don't know.
I'm like, wait, maybe it's in reference to something.
It is. It's a double. Know? I mean, maybe it's a reference to something. If it is and we missed it, please let us know.
The Mummy Twins or I don't know.
Yeah,
something
The Mummy,
out there.
the famous movie, The Mummy Twins.
Also, listeners, if I sound exhausted, it's only because I got back from, Australia, like a real Australian. It's because I got back from Australia yesterday, so my mouth is not moving as fast or as slow as my brain.
Oh, no.
I thought of you so much every time I heard someone go, oh, no. That's what happens this episode. Start... moments after we left off last week when Niles had asked Cece to marry him, or I guess it's a bathroom. And this is where Cece has fled to. And, you know, Fran's like, Miss Babcock, like, tell me what happened. What did he say? What did you say? And this all happens, by the way, while Cece is in a bathroom stall and Fran has climbed up on the toilet seat next to it to peer in. So invasive. And Cece reveals that she turned him down because he's not rich. And Fran was like, forget your head. What does your heart say? And then Cece thinks and goes, don't marry a maid.
I LOL'd at all of this. I thought it was so funny.
My
note is just, haha, Cece not marrying Niles because he's too poor. It's so mean.
And so she walks out. And she's also not only like not going to marry him, but she's like totally amused by the whole situation. And she basically promises to like hold it over Niles' head forever and never let him live it down.
Yeah.
And then she leaves. But then Niles pops out of a storage closet. He's clearly heard the whole thing. And he is livid at Fran. He's like, you know, you pushed me to say something. And this was the most humiliating thing that's ever happened to me. And like, my life is basically over. And before she can really respond, then Yetta pops out of a stall asking if they have her dress in a size 6. Because she literally wandered into the bathroom, now thinks she's in a store dressing room. I wrote, she does have dementia. I hope that they get her in some sort of, you know, long-term memory care facility soon.
There's a super cut next episode. And it's like played for laughs, but all I could think was like, this is just like a supercut of a woman's slow descent into dementia.
And so the next scene, we have Fran and Maxwell meeting at the OBGYN for like a routine checkup. And before the doctor even comes in, they start bickering over the whole Niles CC situation. Cause he's basically like, you know, you never should have gotten involved with other people's lives. And now I have to deal with the fallout because Niles is like super depressed. And of course that becomes Mr. Sheffield's problem.
Yes.
And he basically makes Fran promise to stop interfering in the love life of in their love life.
It becomes Mr. Sheffield's problem because Mr. Sheffield insists that the people working for him also be chipper. Because it's like there is a world where it's just like, all right, Niles is a little depressed. I'll just let this play its course. But Mr. Sheffield's like, no, it's unacceptable. It's affecting my day.
There's that. But you also know that Niles would definitely like, you know, sit on a couch eating ice cream and like not respond to basic like calls for like, hey, have you done any of your basic responsibilities? But so we then get what I wasn't sure if it was the A or the B plot of the episode yet, but now I would say after seeing it was the B plot, the doctor, who is not their usual Dr. Reynolds, it's Dr. Reynolds' sister, because I guess they just couldn't get, what's her name for today's episode? Yep. The great
Nora Dunn?
Nora Dunn, that's it. Yeah. I was going to say Lainey Kazan, and I knew that was wrong.
No, Nora Dunn.
But so this doctor gives them
Nora Dunn musical guest G.E. Smith and the Saturday Night Live band.
He's got a job for life.
I mean, so, now
I know. But you have a job for life because the new guy sucks.
Hey Lorne, are you listening?
You should watch the Emma Stone episode just for the sketch, questioning questions or something. It's like a game show.
We watched that. It was great.
Oh, I love that. the host was so good. Like the host who played those. And then just the idea that he's trying to give this tortoise away.
The tortoise.
Okay. Anyway.
It was a rare, like, completely irreverent sketch from them. I like when they just go, like, very, very, very weird.
Yes.
Which is rare. Usually it's not like that.
Yeah. And what's his name? He's getting riper. He is getting a real Norm MacDonald vibe to him in his own way. But okay, cut all that. Because this doctor ends up giving Fran and Mr. Sheffield these two baby dolls that are like battery operated to cry and to pee and to like spit up, because she's basically like, you know, for all of our patients who are going to have twins, we want to really get them some practice, which I think that's so, I mean, do doctors ever really do this? I mean, I know that sometimes couples will like.
No, and I found it particularly egregious that Mr. Sheffield in this moment didn't go, ma'am, I've had three children. And he reacts so like later in the episode, he's like, this is stupid. You know, these are dolls. But like, I felt like it was a real missed opportunity to not have him in this moment be like, I've had three children. Like I get it. Twins is different, but like, I know how to change diapers and take care of baby. You know, like she was talking to them like they were new parents, which Fran is, but Mr. Sheffield's not. And it's
true.
Very weird.
To his credit, later he's like, you know, darling, you need to learn like which cries are important and which aren't. And
right.
I was like, so we're right. But I was also thinking, did you ever have to do any kind of assignment like this for like home ec or anything?
We had eggs. We had to take care of eggs.
I think we had to take care of a pack of flour.
Oh, yeah, no, ours was an egg. So we had to like build a little bed and carry the egg around for like a week or whatever. And I staged a kidnapping.
An old Lindenberg baby.
Yeah, I thought it was funny. Egg.
The next scene, this was so fun. Niles runs into Fran in the living room and he's still super mad at her. But she promises, she's like, listen, I have promised Maxwell that I will not let a single piece of advice run through my lips again. And she's like, that's why. And she goes, hit it. And Brighton and Gracie come out and they reenact.
I loved this.
It was so funny. And the kids were so good. They reenact the moment that Niles proposed to Cece. And then when she says no, Brighton, or Niles, played by Brighton, goes, I've done this all wrong. I should have started out slower. You know what? Let me take a step back. Let me just ask you to dinner. And then so Niles looks at Fran and he's like, so you're saying that you think I should start slower? And she goes, how you interpret the play is up to you. the kids, like Gracie was so good at playing a little Cece.
So they were both great. I thought they were both great. I really liked this scene. And in my head, I got momentarily distracted going, is there ways for them to do this in every episode for the remainder of the show?
Yes.
Like, can they shoehorn in the kids have to play act as the adults? Because it's great.
Yeah. And those two are, they're just really good.
Yeah. They're underused. It's really, the deeper we get, you know, as we kind of wrap this series up, I really, really have a better understanding now of why, what's her name?
Madeline Zima.
Madeline, thank you. Yeah. Of why she kind of feels like she was sort of a prop, you know, and kind of wasted on the show.
Yeah.
I get that. I mean, I really understand that more now. My recollection of the kids was that they were way more involved. I was really surprised as we watched the show to see how much of it was just like kind of about the adults and the adults' problems, and the kids were just.
Yeah.
Kind of background
and
flavor.
As we said before, though, like when I take a step back, I'm like, oh, I would rather have watched this show than like, you know, a show like A Family Matters, where it's like, you know, that instantly ages it down when you're like dealing with kids' problems every week. So I'm not mad like on a macro level, but like I can totally see how, yes, from like a young actor's perspective, she would feel that way, you know. But okay, so. Fran slips the advice, which I thought was very good advice, because again, she didn't tell Niles to go ask Cece to marry him. She just was like, go talk to her about how you feel, which would be like, hey, I think I have feelings for you. Do you want to do dinner sometime? Like, it was just,
right. She couldn't have known he was going to be a complete weirdo and blurt out, will you marry me?
Psycho. Like, so then Niles,
it's one of the
like,
few times where Fran's actually not really at fault, you know, it's like, hey, she gave him good advice. She said, go speak what's on your mind. How could she have predicted that?
Yeah.
This
Niles
is what it would
was a
be.
Super freak.
Big so loser.
well then not. And Niles is like, well, how do you know Cece will say yes? Or he's like, how do you know Miss Babcock will say yes? And Fran's like, I just know. I'm absolutely sure of it. Cut to Cece and Fran talking, and Cece is going, absolutely not. Like, she will not say yes. But Fran's sort of like, can't you just do this one thing? You know, it'll be the nice thing to do, you know, and kind of just like nudges her to the point where she says, fine, if he asks me, I'll say yes. And there was also a great bit in this scene where Cece takes one of the baby dolls and she takes out its batteries and then drops it face down. Which
it was so cold. It was great.
Yeah,
I kept waiting for someone to toss one of those babies. Weirdly enough, I was like, "Oh, someone's gonna throw a baby! I guarantee it." You don't write a comedy with a plastic baby and not manhandle it a little bit. It's just funny.
Yeah, it's like Chekhov's gun. So then that night, Fran and Maxwell, they're in the bedroom starting to get it on, which. If anyone was curious if they were still doing it while she's pregnant, the answer is yes.
I was shocked. I had to Google it. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just joking. Imagine if that's how I learned. So yeah, you can have sex while pregnant.
Yeah, because, you know, you don't want to jostle the baby.
Yeah, what if you poke it in its eye?
Yep, exactly. So... the fake babies start to cry while they're trying to get it on, and Mr. Sheffield begrudgingly goes to tend to them, but not because he actually thinks it's helpful, but because he knows that if he doesn't, Fran will be too distracted to make love. And while he's gone, Niles appears in their bedroom, and he is livid, like even more angry than before. And he reveals that he proposed again that night, and Cece again refused. And she's like, did you not learn anything from my play? I knew Brighton wasn't conveying the right pathos.
I love that line.
Which is a great line. And And because she was basically like, I told you to not propose. I told you to just, you know, take it slow. But Niles, he's like basically done. And he declares that he cannot be around Cece anymore. And he, in fact, is going to quit. Like, he's like, I can't be under the same roof with her after all this. It's too humiliating. And he's really serious about it. And he says, he turns on his heels and he leaves the room, and he says all of this right as Maxwell comes back in. And now Maxwell's angry at Fran because she had promised she would not interfere in this anymore.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The next scene, we have breakfast the next morning. This is a little bit of like a filler scene, I felt, because not that much happens, but it was funny. But so it's Val and Sylvia are there with Fran having breakfast, and she's kind of like lamenting about the whole situation. And Val's like, you know, you should just go talk to Miss Babcock directly. And like literally the only like, I would say like the only like net gain from this short little scene is that when Sylvia sees Fran taking care of these fake babies, she goes, oh, this brings me back to when you were little. And then Fran's like, what did you do when Nadine and I cried? And Sylvia goes, oh, I just leave the room. It was so annoying. But then Fran goes to talk to Cece. Cece's like refuses to be nice to Niles or to apologize. Then Maxwell comes in and he literally screams at Cece. He like yells at her. He's like, you need to go make this right. And so Niles comes in and Cece goes.
Well, sorry for boring you, Toria.
I'm so jet lagged. But so then Cece goes and she tries to apologize to Niles, but it just goes completely off the rails and they end up just flinging insults at each other. And then in the end, it actually gets pretty serious. Like Niles, like not even as a joke. Is like, he's like, fine, say no to me and, you know, make fun of me and, you know, just go on doing exactly what you're doing in life. But like, you know, what do you even have? You're just pining away for a married man who's starting a family with another woman. And in 15 years, you'll be saying Merry Christmas to your friends in rehab. And he turns around and he goes up the stairs. And it, again, it's not played for laughs. And it even leaves her like momentarily speechless. And, you know, Fran and Max. Yeah, it was. Yeah. And like Fran and Maxwell, they've been watching the whole thing and they're kind of like, ugh. And then Cece just kind of looks up and she's like, you know what? He's right. Like I've always, you know, stayed too long at the fair, but, you know, not this time. She's like, I need to move on. And she's like, you know, Maxwell, you're going to have my resignation on your desk tomorrow morning. And she just picks up her purse and she walks out. And it was also like not played for jokes by Lauren Lane either. And
it was great acting from both of them, quite frankly.
And then that night, Fran and Maxwell, they're in bed and they decide, they're like, you know what? We need to convince Niles and Cece to stay. This is crazy. But it's also, they mostly decide that because they truly believe that neither of those two people would be able to survive outside the home. They're like too incompetent. They're like, oh, you got it.
Which is so insulting because like – Cece has an apartment. She doesn't live with them.
Well, it's also funny because it again shows how like Mr. Sheffield's very dysfunctional relationship with people he hires, where he's like, well, if they like, they're so incompetent, they won't be able to survive outside of like this, like me basically supporting them, which is like not the reason you should keep people on your payroll.
No, not at all. And quite frankly, like, while that might be true for Niles, that does not, I mean, Cece's not dumb. You know what I mean? She's like crazy, but she seems to be a fairly competent producer. I feel like she would be fine if she quit.
Yes. I mean, they even had the whole episode where she did quit and Mr. Sheffield realized how much she does.
Exactly.
Meanwhile, Niles does have skills, but I think he's become too soft. And if he was like working for someone that wouldn't let him, you know, rifle through his cigars, drink his whiskey, and also like shamelessly spy on him,
he's too close. Be very,
yeah.
If you're going to have Lyndon help, you got to have some distance. Don't be too warm. That's what I always say.
They decide that they need to stop this. So they're like, let's start by talking to Niles. And remember, this is like after midnight. It's like nighttime. So they head over to Niles's bedroom. And they're like, we just need to tell him how much we love him, how much we value him. You know, we just need to convince him to stay. And they knock. And there is no answer. And then Fran's like, oh, you know, he's a heavy sleeper. Sometimes I ring him 2-3 in the morning for a Diet Coke and he doesn't answer. And so she just swings open his door to reveal that he is asleep in bed with Cece. Meaning they have had sex, guys. And
it
seems like crazy. They're very content. They're both sleeping with smiles on their faces.
This is such a horny season. I don't even know anymore. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I was like, man, everyone's getting laid this season.
Everyone. Even Maggie.
And that was the episode.
No, there was a button.
Oh,
Yetta comes
a great
in.
Button.
Yetta comes into the kitchen the next day and she's looking at the baby dolls and she doesn't realize they're dolls. And she's like, coochie, coochie, coo. And then Gracie comes in behind her and she's like, oh, hi, Yetta. Do you want me to make you something to eat? And then Yetta goes, yeah, talk. She thought that the baby said it. So more proof that she is senile. But also I went, it's nice that Gracie would make her something. She's a good kid.
So funny.
And now that's the episode.
It is.
So should we move on to our
segments? We should. This episode was a little bit of a circus, wouldn't you say, Toria?
Uh-oh.
And now, segments.
Are we ready for segments?
We are so ready for segments. Let's go. All right, so segment time. Segments.
Mm-hmm. Should we move on to our segments? Should we get into our segments? Segments with Sean and Toria. Okay, so now my mental imaginings went to us as Fosse dancers.
Oh, okay.
And oh my gosh, the famous Liza Minnelli. My brain is so dead. The famous Fosse, Liza Minnelli performance, Michael York, Cabaret.
Oh, Cabaret, yeah.
Yes, I just imagine us being like.
See, and I imagined us each on a unicycle with a bear also on a unicycle wearing a top hat riding around.
I like that. I am not opposed to that either.
Yeah. Okay, well, let's get into it. Favorite lines and moments. I have a couple that we didn't hit.
Go for it.
I really liked Fran saying, or Cece says to Fran, you know, did I ever try to interfere with you and Maxwell in your relationship? And Fran goes, no, but one time you tried to push, or she goes, no, but you did try to push me in front of a bus. And Cece goes, once.
She goes, once, and I apologize. That was also my first line that I stated.
It's so good.
I also so funny.
Really, 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 it wasn't like a specific line, but the whole bit of Fran and also Sylvia stealing shit from Val and Val's mother is so funny to me. So Fran is like, Val says, like, this tells a story of like, she's like, remember one time I had that doll that I loved so much and then I lost it. And then the next day you got one that was exactly like it. She's like, I was so sad. And Fran goes like, yeah, weird.
Or whatever. Yeah. She's like, you remember? And Fran's like, vaguely.
And then later we see Fran comes in with a suitcase and Val goes, wow, that looks just like the luggage my mother lost at the airport that one time with you guys on a vacation. Remember, Sylvia? And Sylvia goes, Vaguely.
Yes, yeah. Such a horrible friend.
The Fiennes just keep stealing shit and making these people like gaslighting them. It's so good. I love it. What were yours?
I have those two exact ones flagged. And then I also have when the OBGYN comes in and she's like, hi, like I'm Dr. Reynolds' sister. And then Fran goes, two doctors in one family. You know, my father had two sisters on his side who both made dried apple people. So funny. And then we already said it, but I love the line where she goes, did you learn nothing from my play? I knew Brighton wasn't conveying the right pathos. And then that was it for me. Should we move on to Yiddish?
Yes.
Okay, so
sorry, there I meant was to just say oi.
I only got Yenta.
Okay, yeah. Well, I have an exciting development in the world of the Nanny Podcast Yiddish segments. Because over Chanukah, your boy got a brand new book called The Joys of Yiddish, which means it's very, very late in our podcast for me to have discovered that this is a thing I could have just had this whole time. But now we have a deep dive into Yiddish words. So let's see what they say about Yenta, shall we? Interestingly, the official definition for Yenta is a woman of low origins or vulgar manners. A shrew or a shallow person. The other definition is a gossipy, scandal-spreading rumor-mongerer, which is, you know, kind of how it's more often used, right? And they talk about how Yenta Telenebi was a famous character in a Yiddish newspaper published in New York. She was invented by humor writer B. Kovner, which was the pen name of Jacob Adler, who was a playwright and a stage actor. So that was one of the first times that it was used as like a character. It was like this fake Yenta Telebani would, I guess, write into the column. And then there was also another thing they point out the rapid-fire comedian Jack Leonard once called the garrulous moderator of a television discussion program a Yenta with facts.
Wow. Hey, I think I'm a Yenta with facts.
You are. You know what? I think you are.
I love it. What I want. I'm going to change my Instagram bios.
Yenta with facts. I like that.
Or maybe that should be our shows. That should actually be for both of us. Two Yentas with facts.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to go back and I'm just going to insert myself into every old episode reading. Be like, oh, that's interesting, Toya. Let me look in the book.
Okay, that's great. That's great. Yeah, okay. It's fun. So, then for Nanny Trivia.
There's only like four episodes left.
I know. God, get mad at whoever gave you that lovely gift for not giving it to you sooner.
Blow my brains out.
So, Nanny Trivia. Oh. This is from our wonderful listener, Lisa. And she wrote us via Instagram.
Yes.
And she wrote, so I was listening to the latest episode of the podcast. And you guys were talking about Mandy Patinkin and the line about him leaving Chicago Hope. Well, I remembered him mentioned in an earlier season, so I looked it up. In season 3, episode 11, they mentioned getting a script to him. So I guess it was keeping with continuity, which I loved. That was so cool. It's such a like amazing memory on Lisa's part.
Seriously.
Yeah, I do love that.
That's pretty cool.
Thank you, Lisa.
Of listeners, we could quickly dip into the listener mailbag. I cannot remember if we did this one or not. I think we did, but Christina wrote in to say that she's hello.
That was such a long pause.
Oh, it must have cut out because I was talking that whole time.
No, I just heard you go. I cannot remember, and then there was a long pause.
Oh yeah, I cut out because I was talking.
Oh, okay.
but regardless, Christina wrote in just to say she's depressed that this podcast is ending, and she wants us to do a couple of extra episodes where maybe we discuss specific things or characters or stuff like that, which I'm not opposed to. We'll talk about it, because then the next email is from Sophia. Now, I couldn't possibly cover everything that's covered in this email. I've decided to sum it up by saying Sophia is a fan. She is a writer. She is a millennial English Russian Jew born in the UK and living in London, with the same ethnic distribution as Toria, she notes, Jewish mom, English father. Mm. She wrote us maybe a 5-page email that is like thoroughly researched. There's all sorts of stuff in here that I'm going to pass along to Toria, because I think you'll be able to pull fun trivia stuff from this. She basically sends us like sourced trivia. And she says she just wrote a 676 page biography with 140 pages of endnotes. So she's like, I'm very good at referencing and finding things, and here's a bunch of cool stuff I found. Specifically though, she talks about Daniel Davis and Lauren Lane, right? Because she really likes them and their whole thing. And she sort of like deep dove into, you know, what is the deal with this relationship? Because Davis does not support the idea of liking of Cece and Niles. He was against it. And she found that interesting. And then he says that he thinks that it's too pat and kind of a Hollywood ending that they end up together. But then he also says that he really liked the idea of a Cece and Niles spinoff, which he wanted. So it's interesting. And then she found a podcast episode where he says that he feels like they would have had an affair but got tired of each other. So he felt it to be like not very believable that they would that he would actually propose and want to like be with her, which is really interesting. And then she also says that he gave more details about this spinoff, said that he pitched it to the network at the end of season 6. And that though he's seen negative on the coupling in recent years, there's an interview from season 3 where he says there's a fine line between love and hate between Niles and Cece, which is pretty interesting, way before any of the them getting together stuff. So it's interesting that at one point he was like, oh, maybe they do like each other. And then he like got really cold on it. There's a bunch in here. I'll let you go through it. She has a whole bunch of cool facts and stuff that will be fun as we kind of go through all of the remaining episodes. But I just wanted to really highlight, she put so much work into it, and everyone should be grateful for all of the fun trivia we're going to get. So thank you, Sophia.
Yes, thank you, Sophia. That's so awesome.
That's really awesome.
I got it. Sean, you got to forward me the email, because you know I constantly lock myself out of our email account.
I did forward it to you, Toria.
I think you did, actually. You did. You did forward it to me. Okay. I have anything. I have it, and I got to read it. I was in Australia.
Good. Yeah, yeah. No. I did. Okay, good. So that's that. Let's close up the fan bag. Fan bag. I just made myself laugh. And
close up
I
the
think
fran bag.
The fran bag. And now it's the saddest time of the episode, because it's time to say goodbye. But
no, it's the Fran or the Cece.
No, nope. Time to say goodbye. Goodbye. Fran of the Cece, I gotta tell you, I kind of felt like nobody in this episode. Because
not even Niles?
Not even Niles. I'm happily married. And I wasn't rejected by her.
That's true. But you hey, know, guess who he ends up with?
I know. Well, you know, look, I guess if anyone, I felt like the Fran, because she was given those babies and then carried them around in almost every single scene, and Maxwell was nowhere to be seen. And I feel like I love babies and would also carry plastic babies around if given them.
You're forever babies. And I felt like the Fran, because as we've said before, or as I said before, I definitely have a tendency to try to get involved, try to fix things that don't really concern me. And sometimes you make a bigger mess and you should just stay out of it. And I'm trying to learn that lesson still.
Yeah. I tell you that every single day. Okay. And if you don't want the party to end, please find us on Instagram or on Twitter, Oh Mr. Chef Pod. You can also go to ohmrchefpod.redbubble.com and look at stuff that you could buy that has a show logo on it and stuff like that. And that's about it for us this week, Toria. But next week, very exciting episode. The Yetta letters. Oh my gosh. I have so many thoughts. I can't wait for you guys to listen to it and to watch it, and we can all talk about it. And we will delve deep into the question of what do Niles and Cece do with all of that olive oil? That's my teaser for next week.
Okay. Okay. So on that note,
goodbye. And now, segments.
Are we ready for segments?
We are so ready for segments. Let's go. All right, so segment time. Segments.
Mm-hmm. Should we move on to our segments? Should we get into our segments? Segments with Sean and Toria.